Got your Bibles? Got your Bibles? All right. Amen. Where have we been studying at? Acts. Boy, I wanted to get away from Acts this morning. I really did. I wanted to do another sermon, but I just, no matter how hard I tried, it just would not come together. And, you know, I just kept praying about it. You know, God, what, you know, I need direction and guidance. And so he kept me here one more Sunday. Titles of the message would be, A Church Would Pray. You know, I believe as a body of Christ, as a church, and that's what a church is. It's not this building. It's the body of Christ as believers coming together, uniting together to fulfill God's purpose, not only in your life, but in the lives of other people. Do you realize that? And I believe as a body of Christ, I believe that in our spiritual growth that we has been taking place here, I believe that we are becoming more of a body of Christ that prays more. I really do. I believe that. As we shared last Sunday with the experience of Carol's family, that, you know, that was a result of a church praying. And we need to realize that. And I want this to be a lesson of encouragement to you in your prayer life, and in praying for each other, and praying as a body. And that's what a body is. It's just not one part, but a body is all of us working together and praying together. A church would pray. We're going to look at this text this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 12. And this text that we're going to look at, you said, Brother Dennis, well, you skipped chapter 11. Well, it's just kind of a some review there in chapter 11 of what happened in chapter 10 when Peter had the vision. But anyway, let's go on to, we're going to be in chapter 12, and there in this scripture here we have scriptures, verses. This text is talking about a church member that is in trouble. And it shows us here that with this church member being in trouble, there is a body of Christ, a church that is praying. And we're going to remind you of what it says in the book of James, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And as we look at this text, we'll see that there was a need there, and that need in praying for this member that was in trouble, this member needed deliverance, and that prayer was answered. That prayer was answered, and as we look at this, there was not just a few of them praying, but it says many. Before we go any further, though, I want to just give you a few accounts of prayer that was answered in the Bible when people prayed. And one of them would be Moses. When Moses prayed, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, were delivered. When Joshua prayed, what happened? Remember the story of Joshua? The sun stood still. How about Hannah? What happened there? God gave her a baby. Solomon. He prayed, what happened? God gave him wisdom. Elijah prayed, God sent down fire from heaven. How about Jonah? Delivered from the belly of the whale, right? How about the thief on the cross? He's saved. He received eternal lives. Let's look at Acts chapter 12, starting verse 1 and 2. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, we need to realize here this King Herod, just what kind of a individual he was. He was a mean and ruthless ruler, as was all of this entire family. He was the grandson of King Herod the Great that had attempted to kill Jesus at when Jesus was a baby. I mean, this guy was he was wicked, and this family was an enemy of God. Acts chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him unto four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. I mean, this guy here, he's actually playing politics is what he's doing, and he's persecuting Christians, and he kills James, and then after he does that, then he proceeds to take Peter captive, and when this man puts you in prison, you knew what was coming after that. There was going to be certain death. I mean, it wasn't about get a fair trial and put you in jail for a few days. When this leader, when this king put you in jail, certain death was coming. I mean, there wasn't no way around it. It was coming. Now, look what it says here in verse 5. I want to point out there, wait in verse 4, though. It says there... It says intending after Easter. That was actually actually the Passover. So he was going to wait till after the Passover, and then bring him forth to the people. Now, verse 5. Look what it says. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made what? Without ceasing, of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made for this individual. Prayer was made for this church member that needed deliverance, that needed help, that was in trouble. Prayer was made for him without ceasing. Where did that prayer come from? From the church, from the body of Christ. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, look what Peter was doing. I mean, the night before, I mean, he's going to get killed the next day. And he knows it. I mean, during this time frame, you couldn't help but know what kind of man he was up against. Look what he was doing. He was sleeping. Tells us where he was sleeping. He was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So it says they would have brought him forth. There was going to be certain death. He knew what was coming. Here he was. He's sleeping. He's sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and there the guards that guarded the door. They kept the prison. Now let's go with verse 7 through 9. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. What happens in this scripture right here, that actually should be interpreted an angel. An angel comes, and there was a light shining in the prison, and then he smote him, or in other words, he touched him, and he woke him up, and his chains fell off. You know, as you read that passage of Scripture, that's the same thing when you make a choice, a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the same thing that happens. And that angel is Jesus Christ himself that came to this earth and died in your stead, died in your place. And he touched you. And when you realize that, you wake up, your spiritual eyes are open, and those chains of sin that have been binding you fall off. You're released. All of a sudden, you're free. Look what the angel says to him. He says, put your clothes and your shoes on and follow me. But Peter, he didn't even realize. He's kind of thinking, this may be a dream. I'm not really figured out yet what's going on. He says, am I dreaming? Now look in verse 10. When they were past the first and second ward, so that right there tells us King Herod has placed more guards there, because he's kind of got a feeling that something like this is going to take place and somebody's going to try to help him escape. So when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opeth to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. He says, I know for sure. He goes, I know this is not a dream. He goes, I know for sure that God hath delivered me. Now look what happens when he realizes this. When he realizes that this is for real, that God has delivered him, look what he does in verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, in other words, when he realized this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where what? Where many were gathered together praying. There wasn't just two or three. There wasn't just a few of them. It says there were many. Now let's go on verse 13 through 15. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Now, you just stop and think about this. This is a young girl that goes down there to see who is knocking at the outside door here. And you stop and think about the persecution that was taking place at that time. You wouldn't just holler out like we do around here and say, hey, come in. You know, people will knock on your door around here and you don't even know. You just holler, come in, or I do. I think a lot of us are like that. But at this time of persecution that was taking place, you wanted to know who was there before you opened the door. Because it might be soldiers there that King Herod had set there to get you and arrest you and take you and have you killed. There was great persecution taking place. This young girl goes down there. She doesn't open the door. She recognizes Peter's voice. And when she recognizes Peter's voice, she becomes so excited that she forgets to let him in. She knows it's Peter. She recognizes his voice, and she gets so excited because that's what they had been praying for. They had been praying for deliverance. She gets so excited about it because she knows her prayers have been answered, and she goes back upstairs, back in the house where it says many are gathered, and she tells them. What does she tell them? She says, hey, Peter's at the gate. Peter is at the gate. I mean, this girl is excited. Look what they actually tell her, that she's crazy. I have people tell me that all the time. I'm crazy. They actually think he has been killed, that he's dead, because it says, they say it is his spirit. They think He's dead. And yet there they are praying for his deliverance. And then when she comes and says, he's at the gate. I know it's him. It's him. Our prayers have been answered. And they say, woman, you're crazy. That's not him. He's dead. That must be his spirit. They think he's dead. They don't believe. And yet that is exactly what they're praying for. You know, that's the same way that a lot of us are today in our prayer lives. When our answered or prayers are answered, we rejoice and we talk about it, which is not a bad thing, but the sad part is we act like we're really surprised that our prayers were answered. It's like we're praying, but we really don't expect an answer. We really don't expect that to be Peter there at the gate, even though that's what we're praying for, and we're praying for that deliverance. We're praying for our family members to be delivered from those chains, that bondage, and we're praying for it, and yet we're not expecting it. Look what verse 16 and 17 says. I want to point out that in verse 15 there, it is at the last part of that, says it is his angel. It's not that he's an angel. That's that scripture saying there that actually it is his spirit. We're not going to be angels. I want to point that out. We're not going to be floating around like some spirit. It says we're going to have glorified bodies. You are going to have a physical body just like Christ had. You're not going to be a bunch of spirits going around here and there. You're going to have a glorified body just like Jesus Christ. That's what they thought it was his spirit. They thought he was dead. Look what it says now, verse 16. Now, put yourself in Peter's shoes. I mean, there is great persecution going on. This angel has brought him all the way through the prison, all the way through all these guards, and then when he gets him out there into the street, the angel departs, right? And leaves him there. Put yourself in his shoes just for a minute. What would you do? I mean, Christians are being persecuted and being killed. He heads to where he feels secure and safe, right? He goes to the body of Christ. And if you can't feel safe and secure here with this body of Christ, either something's wrong with you or something's wrong with us. You hear me? Look what happens here. Peter continued knocking. I don't blame him for that. I'd be wanting off the streets too. I'd be wanting in before somebody seen me. And the point I want to make out of that is sometimes God delivers us from things, but he also uses... We need to use a little common sense after we're delivered from things. You hear me? Because once you're delivered from that thing, just like from sin, from some addiction or something that you've been delivered from, that's like me saying after I've been delivered from alcohol is going up here and sitting in a bar and saying, well, God delivered me. I can go in here and sit anywhere I want to in this bar because God has delivered me. See, that's the same thing here of Peter. He's using his head. He says, I need to get off the street. I need to get where there's safety. I need to get with my people. I need to get with the body of Christ. I need to let them know that their prayers have been answered, that I have been delivered. He continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished. He said, man, we've been praying for you. We've been gathered together here. And I can't believe God answered my prayers. Man. And you stop and think about this. This was the early church. I mean, there was people being healed. There was people being delivered through prayers. And yet, here they are. They're praying and they're astonished. They can't believe it. verse 18 and 19. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was to become of Peter? I like how he puts that. There was no small stir. I mean, this King Herod, there was fixing to be some butt kicking going on. I can't think of any other way to put that. He had put him in prison. He had put all these guards watching him, chained two guards at the door, guards at every gate. I mean, he had covered his bases. He knew that someone was going to try to deliver Peter. See, look what it says here. Where did I get to? Lost my place. There. Verse 19. Okay, there was no small stir. Now look what verse 19 says. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. I mean, somebody was going to pay for this man escaping. Somebody was going to pay for this man being released from prison. You know, and that tells me that right there that he didn't think that God had anything to do with it. He thought that some of the people that were supposed to be watching him were involved in this, and he had them put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Now, let's read on just a little bit further, verse 20 through 23. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. I think that's how you say that. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. In other words, their economy depended on the economy there that was happening in King Herod's kingdom. In verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. What does that teach us right there? That God is not going to share his glory with anyone. Look what it says in Isaiah 42, verse 8. Isaiah 42, 8. Scripture reads, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will not share his glory with anyone. In so doing, what happens to King Herod? God judges him. See, he got to thinking that he was God. He didn't realize, or he didn't want to realize, that God had anything to do with this escape from prison, from these chains that he had been bound. God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God, and he's jealous of his glory. God wants the glory, and we need to give him the glory, because it's not about us. It's not about the Western Grove Bible Church. It is about Jesus Christ. Amen. Look what verse 24 says in closing. But the word of God grew and did what? Multiplied. Multiplied. See, we get to thinking of addition, but when the gospel's going forth, it's multiplication. That's how God works. When we're giving God the glory, when we're giving him the praise, when it's about him and not about us, when it's about his body and not about ours, and we're giving him the glory, what's going to happen? Multiplication. Have you been praying about something for a long time? Have you been praying about this body of Christ? Have you been giving Him the glory? If you're not, God is going to judge you, because He wants the glory. Amen. I encourage you as a body of Christ to pray for each other like you never have before. You know why I say that? Because I think we let our guard down. When things are going well in the church and everything's growing, people are growing spiritually, we get to thinking we're okay. And that's exactly when the devil is going to use me. He's going to use you to cause a stir of things. He's going to cause problems. And as a body of Christ, we need to be lifting each other up. We need to be edifying each other and praising God for what's taking place here in this body of Christ. Amen. Lift each other up. Do it daily. Lift me up as your pastor. Pray for me. Not that my needs are special, but I have a responsibility here. And that is to shepherd everyone that's here.